so nobody will interrupt my recording. What date is it today? 28th. I should know, it was my birthday yesterday. I thought I'd get that in.
None of us have any idea at all.
28th of July, 2011. 26th of Tamils, 5771. Just for record point of view.
I'm putting you down for the
next
26th. No. Thank you all very much for coming. Those of you who came for the refreshments will have to wait until after the shiur. I do apologise in advance. Certain aspects of the shiur might be rather gruesome. So those people with a nervous disposition might have to... I said... yes.
That's terrible.
I have to offer my apologies.
It won't be so bad.
Save something.
All right. When everybody's nice and comfortable.
He's just said he's going to be gruesome tonight.
No, I said bits of it might be gruesome.
Yes, I
know. Oh, that's good.
Okay.
It either is or it isn't.
But you'll find everything subjective.
Right.
Get out of that one. I would like to start by telling you a few of the halachos, the laws, which pertain to the period known as the 9 days, which technically should be the 9.5 days, because they last from Rosh Chodesh Av, which is Sunday night, until the afternoon of the 10th of Av, which is the following Wednesday, not the straight 4 days later, but the week Wednesday later, at 1:15. The restrictions are as follows. One doesn't eat meat or drink wine, except on Shabbos, or if one goes to a festive meal, but I don't think like a bar mitzvah, or something like that. One should not wear, now this is where it gets interesting, one should not wear, if possible, freshly laundered clothes, which means that if one has clothes that are not been worn, preferably one should try and sit on them for a few seconds to get rid of the special, I'll explain in a minute, get rid of the sort of little bit of freshness one gets when one puts on a nice feeling one gets when one puts on a nice sort of... I mean, if they've been in the cupboard for a long time, one doesn't need to worry. We're talking about freshly laundered or freshly dry cleaned or freshly ironed shirts. One should not bathe for pleasure, which means one can have showers and baths. In the olden days, they only used to shower once every 2 weeks, once every month, so therefore they were told these periods would keep it free. But nowadays, one can shower and have a bath as regularly as one wants, but one should try and make sure they're not done for pleasurable purposes, so either one can have them colder than usual or quicker than usual, just to make one aware that it is a not such a happy period. I'll come and speak to that. That's what the shiur's about. And therefore, one should be aware that this is a not as happy a time as it should be or could be. I want to avoid the word sad, as you'll hear later. And therefore, one should do these things to make one feel that it's not happy, so we don't eat meat, drink wine, bathe for pleasure. When it comes to Shabbos, one can wear new clothes on Shabbos, one can wear freshly laundered clothes, one can wear ironed clothes, and one can bathe as long as one wants. Yes?
I'm so sorry, Rabbi. I don't know whether we missed the very, very beginning.
Yes.
But what are we talking about?
We are talking about the period known as the 9.5 days, from the Rosh Chodesh Av, which is Sunday evening, until the following Wednesday afternoon, the day after Tisha B'Av. These are the 9 days of mourning. I'm trying to avoid using the word sad, because that might just rip up the rest of my shiur, and in which case we might as well go home now if I ruin it. So I'm trying to avoid the word sad, which is not very easy for me, so I'm trying to say less happy period in the Jewish calendar. And therefore we try and do little acts that try and show that we are in a period of mourning is probably the best way of describing it. We're in a period of mourning, so we don't go and bathe for hours, wear new clothes and things like that. It's a sign of mourning. Don't eat meat, drink wine, and these are the things that one should do. It's interesting...
Can you drink whiskey?
Yes, you can drink whiskey. It's interesting because you can drink all other alcoholic beverages that you may wish. I would advise you not to. Not advise, I would encourage you not to, because that would be slightly missing the point, perhaps, of avoiding wine if everybody went on and had whiskey and beer and got drunk every night. That would be defeating the purpose. But technically, yes, one can. And chicken also should not be eaten. If one has problems that one can't eat milky foods or para foods, then please see me afterwards. Also, when it comes to Tisha B'Av, next Tuesday, no, 2 Tuesdays time, the 9th of August. Very interesting, it's the 9th of Av, which corresponds this year to the 9th of August. So it's very simple. The fast comes in on Tuesday No, it doesn't. Comes in on Monday. Get it right. Monday evening at 8:55 p.m. Starts in the evening of the night, just like Yom Kippur does. Unlike the other fasts which start at daybreak, this fast starts at sunset of the previous evening, and it goes up until 9:45 on Tuesday afternoon. I appreciate that fasting might be difficult for some people, and some people have tablets and all sorts of things to take. Those people who are really concerned about it can see me privately, but I think most people would agree that when it comes to the evening at 8:55, most people can have had their meal by then and can have all their drinks, and there should be no excuses for not starting the fast, at least until one wakes up in the next morning. And as I say, people who have to eat or have to drink for medical reasons, that doesn't mean they have to overindulge themselves, doesn't mean they have to have snacks, and it doesn't mean, as one diet says, if one needs to eat, okay, but one can have basics like bread and water and things like that. One doesn't need to go overboard, because at the end of the day, it is Tisha B'Av. I will be a lot gruesomer, more gruesome later on, and by which time I'll probably put you totally off your food that you're even having tonight, but it is a very unhappy period, of which I'll talk about later. So I think people should bear that in mind, that even if they can't complete the fast, they should at least try and do as much as they can. We come to shul, hopefully, ho ho ho, in Monday evening. I would like this, I suppose I should run this through the executive, I don't know what powers I have to make decisions of times of davening, but I would like to start davening 10 or 15 minutes after the fast comes in on Monday evening, which will give people to eat right until the fast comes in, if they're that way inclined. Then they can stop, get dressed, come to shul in their cars, no problem of driving, anything like that. And then I would like to make Minchah approximately 10 past 9. Hopefully that will be okay. And then after that we will have Maariv. And after that we will sit down and we will read Eicha, no matter whether there's a minion or not. No matter if there's just me or not. I won't tell you how long it takes, because that will probably put you off. And then there are a few kinnas which one recites afterwards. And according to Yossi, they couldn't finish them all last year because they got kicked out because the alarm was coming on. But I'd be readily assured that it's not a problem this year, because we have ways of disabling it. So that won't, those people who are worried about that needn't. As regards Tisha B'Av itself, I know we're quite some way in advance of it, and I'll speak about it more on Shabbos, but basically it is just like Yom Kippur. One doesn't wear shoes made out of leather. Nowadays that's not a problem, surely, for people who want comfortable trainers and things like that, because you can get plenty of comfortable shoes without leather in them. One doesn't eat and drink. One doesn't anoint oneself. Wear makeup, preferably one as an extra, which doesn't apply in Yom Kippur. You people shouldn't wear jewellery. Yes?
You said you wear trainers.
You can wear trainers.
Comfortable trainers. I was told
that you shouldn't wear comfortable trainers. If you want, there are people who do that, but it's again like with the wine. The halacha is wine and the halacha is leather. If you want to wear non-leather comfortable trainers and drink whiskey, you're perfectly entitled to. It might be slightly avoiding the point of it. That's true.
I thought the reason was that you're supposed to be uncomfortable.
Yes, but the din was made about leather. So I'm not... You can be strict upon yourself and wear very uncomfortable shoes as much as you want, or go around barefooted. But you certainly cannot tell people that they must not wear comfortable unleather shoes.
What's the reason for not wearing because, leather?
Yes, because it is idea of comfort. But just because nowadays we can wear comfortable unleather shoes is of no... coincidence. Right. No. The din was made about leather shoes,
right, so
and therefore nowadays, if you want to be strict upon yourself, please do, but can't go around passing it on to everybody else. Good evening, please come in, feel free. Feel free. It's all right. It's not Tisha B'Av yet. Just wait for me to get. We're just basically saying the laws of Tisha B'Av. To account for our chairman, I said it makes sense to start Monday evening of Tisha B'Av about 10-15 minutes after the fast comes in, allows people to eat and drink right up until the time the fast comes in, and then come to shul approximately 10 past 9. So we spoke about not eating, not drinking, not wearing leather shoes, and not anointing oneself by wearing makeup, aftershave, things like that. One is allowed to wear deodorant, but women should not wear makeup and things like that. One should not wear jewellery, watches of expensive, if there are any footballers amongst us, they can't wear any of their watches, or anything that is a sign of jewellery and expense, one should avoid wearing. In fact, I saw an idea that on Shabbos there is a whole debate whether men can wear watches in the street or not, whether it's considered carrying, or whether it's considered part of a man's garment. So I saw a wonderful idea like this. if a man has such an expensive watch, it's a wonderful watch, that he wouldn't wear it on Tisha B'Av, i.e. it's jewellery and it's an ornament, and therefore he wouldn't wear it, then he can wear it in the street on Shabbos, because it's like jewellery. But if it's like a simple basic watch that you can wear on Tisha B'Av, because it's nothing to do with jewellery, then one shouldn't wear it in the street on Shabbos, because it's not an ornament, etc. But that's besides the point. Just thought I'd say that, because it's nice and interesting if you like that sort of thing. The other thing, one is, so where was I? So we've got the shoes, we've got the not eating, not drinking, not anointing oneself. Yes, one should avoid washing one's hands up until the knuckles only. However, if one gets dirty, one is allowed to wash one's hands as normal. Any part of the body that becomes dirty, it is just when one goes to the toilet, or when one wakes up in the morning, or whatever it is, one should only wash up until the knuckles. Again, these are all things which depict that we are in mourning. Outwardly signs to remind ourselves at all times that we are in mourning. And the fifth and final one is sexual abstinence. One is forbidden to have a sexual intercourse during the day of Tisha B'Av. In fact, when Tisha B'Av falls on a Shabbos, well, we'll still say the halachas anyway, when Tisha B'Av falls on a Shabbos, everything is permitted because it is Shabbos, with the exception sexual intercourse, which is still forbidden on Tisha B'Av. So those are the five things that are forbidden on Tisha B'Av. Now, when one sits on the floor, if one can, if people are elderly and can't do it, have back injuries, please do not sit on the floor. And you, yes, you have heard it from me, please do not sit on the floor if you are in that way inclined. If you are elderly and you cannot do it, please don't. But other than that, one should sit on the floor from the time the fast comes in until 1:15 on Tuesday morning. Because, as again, it's a sign of mourning, sitting on no chairs. We'll talk a bit more about why we stop halfway through, perhaps later on in the shir. But once it comes to 1:15, we can get up and sit on high chairs. One does not wear one's tefillin on Tisha B'Av morning, because tefillin are considered also an ornament, jewellery as well. The Torah says, Tiferes, the tefillin are beautiful, or ornaments, so therefore we don't wear ornaments, so we don't wear the tefillin for Shacharis. Those of you who want an in-depth discussion how that works, please see my Bar Mitzvah Drosha, which I gave this night 14 years ago. I still have a copy of it if anybody wants to read it. If you can read my dad's handwriting, please feel free to ask me for it. And you can read all about why and how it comes that we cannot wear tefillin, don't wear tefillin, how does that work on Tisha B'Av morning. We don't wear a talis either. So if you come to shul, please do come to shul Tisha B'Av mornings. And therefore, I have suggested that we can make it earlier and we can only say a few kinnas and then people can get to work. And then those who want to stay on can stay on extra, like they're doing a lot of shuls in Manchester. But perhaps we'll discuss that later and get back to you. So those are the dinim in regards to Tisha B'Av. One other thing gets out of Tisha B'Av, just before Tisha B'Av comes in, once one has had one's normal meal to satisfy oneself for the fast, one should have a special meal known as the Suda HaMafsekes, which literally translates as the dividing meal, which is should be the last thing one eats before Tisha B'Av. One should only eat bread dipped in ash and have a glass of water. Again, it's a sign of mourning. And one sits on the floor, not in groups of people, and one eats on the floor. Therefore, it is a sign of mourning. But you can eat afterwards if you want until the time of the fast comes in. Normal food, sit on high chairs until the fast comes in. As I said, we'll talk about it more. These are all signs of mourning. And as people say, if people have to go to work on Tisha B'Av, they should avoid sitting on high chairs. Either they can stand or whatever it is. If people are driving, because it's dangerous to not sit on the seat provided for driving. However, in cars like mine, where one can have two settings, either one can sit up high like a king. I have a... what car do I have now? Renault Megane Scenic, where either I can sit up high like a king, or I can sit low down. So obviously when it comes to Tisha B'Av, low down. But other than that, but if one is working, then there's no reason why one should not, if possible, avoid sitting on a high chair. Anybody seen the comedy? Oh, it's just gone out of my head. The new Reginald Perrin, the remake that was out last year. You've seen it where he sits on the low chair in the office? Exactly. So if you feel you can't sit on low chairs in office, please see the Reginald Perrin DVDs. If anybody says, why are you sitting on the chair? You can say, I'm being like Reginald Perrin. So therefore, see, maybe it was Tisha B'Av all year round there. Maybe that's why maybe it was always filmed on Tisha B'Av. Maybe that's why... You haven't seen it, so you think I'm mad. Okay.
He's not.
He's laughing because he's seen it. Good. And people should remember at all times. One should always remember during the hours of Tisha B'Av, the 24 hours and 50 minutes, except for the time one is asleep, that one is in mourning for the Beis HaMikdosh. Why, what, who and where, we shall discuss momentarily. So I think we have covered the basic laws. Anybody wants to ask me any questions about the laws, please feel free to do so.
If you've got a new shirt which you bought before the 17th of Tammuz,
you can buy shirts even in 3 weeks.
Can you?
Yes.
Oh, well, can you wear it in 3 weeks?
Yes, shirts and underwear and basic normal working trousers, which are not for grandeur, one can buy in the 3 weeks and wear them.
Oh, nice. Of course. I was thinking maybe of the Omer.
Even in the Omer, one can buy shirts and underwear and basic necessities, because those are not sort of happy sort of clothes. Those are necessity. But one should avoid buying suits unless they're on sale, and if one does buy a suit, one should not wear it until after the 3 weeks. Again, so one shouldn't feel happy during this time. Yes?
In the afternoon of Tisha B'Av, you finish reading
Kinnas, Wailings. Kinnot. Wailings.
In the afternoon, what are you supposed to do? You can't listen to any music or anything.
You can buy yourself some of these books. And you can read all of them, as long as you're not squeamish. Or you can sit there thinking about what it might have been like to be in the Beis HaMikdash. Go over my shir, which I might sort of impress a few things upon you.
About? No. Anything.
Well, one should not certainly listen to music or anything like that.
Anything serious, no. On the radio, no.
At the end of the day, it's one day a year which we set aside as a day of mourning. In fact, one of the proofs... One of the proofs that all these things come from God and preordained and not just happen for no reason is that they all happened on the same day, and therefore we don't have other days. God planted on one day, one sad day. That is also a sort of a proof that these things were divinely ordained. He made them happen on these days, not just randomly dotted about. Right. Anybody got any questions on the laws?
I have two.
Yes.
Can we carry on? One question is about the differentiation between Talit and Tefillin, not as being articles of enhancement of prayer, but as being decorative.
Mm.
And that's something which is a bit confusing to me, because they've always been referenced as accompanying prayer.
Yes.
Just like a person when he passes away, he buries in his Talit. Mm. They're not an enhancement, it's like an integral part of his...
Well, Tefillin should and could be worn all day. It's only because they decided we shouldn't wear them all day, that therefore they decided to make them for davening only. But one should wear tefillin. Tefillin should be glorified. Well, they are ornaments, are godly ornaments, so therefore they are known as ornaments. They are described as ornaments.
Okay. And the second question, thank you, is there are people who rent their garments on Tisha B'Av.
Yes, there are indeed, yes.
Is that still
done? You don't have to do it.
No, but I have seen it done.
If you want, the people, like... When they go to visit Yerushalayim, they tear their garments. And I usually find it every year. I have my garments that I ripped when I went to see Yerushalayim a few years ago, and I wear those. Oh, yes, and another thing, one isn't close to wear rags, or as close to rags as one can possibly have. I know we're all very stylish here in Southport. We probably don't own any bad or not decent clothes, but one should wear one's least... Well, I don't think anybody would own any sackcloth. Does anybody here own sackcloth? No, didn't think so. So one should not wear decent clothes. There is a very strong opinion that people should not wear ties. There is a very strong opinion, it's not the halacha, but a lot of people say one should, because tie is considered a beautiful thing. Ties are refinement. Therefore, it doesn't apply to the now yuppies generation, youngsters. But there is a lot of people who won't wear a tie on Tisha B'Av.
Can I just ask? You mentioned that it's permissible to buy clothes in a sale. Why is that? And yet you can't buy them, you know, not in a sale.
Because they are designed to... The reason why we don't buy clothes is not to make you happy and enthusiastic about it. But it doesn't mean you should lose money because of it. So if you have a sale and you see a great deal, then we're not expecting you to lose out hundreds of pounds... What it might be when it goes up to full price, or if somebody else might cup it before you get it. We don't want you to lose out on that. So there is limits with everything. Right. You'll be happy, but if it's in the sale, if it's something that is going to pass, then one can buy it.
Right.
But that doesn't obviously apply on Shabbat and Yom Tov, that's separate. But when it comes to these mourning ideas, which are extra, above the normal Torah laws, then when it comes to monetary loss, then...
I had heard that before, but I wasn't sure of the reason why.
Okay. All right, anybody else?
I'm sorry, Rabbi. Are you going to explain the historical meaning?
Indeed. Indeed I am.
Is that the gruesome bit?
Parts of it, yes. You're getting excited. Right, okay. So, for posterity point of view...